Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brian, thank you very much. And as Brian was saying, former US President Donald Trump returned to Florida immediately after he pleaded not guilty to those 34 criminal charges yesterday, where he told reporters the case was an insult to our country and that our country is going to hell. He launched an attack on the DA, Alvin Bragg. Here's what he said about the charges against him.
So here we are now. It's where we were today. In a city that was so great just 4 or 5 years ago. But now we're there. Spend time there today, as you possibly read. With a local failed district attorney charging a former president of the United States for the first time in history on a basis that every single pundit and legal analyst said, there is no case, there's no case. They kept saying, there's no case. Virtually everyone. But it's far worse than that, because he knew there was no case. That's why last week he delayed for a month and then immediately took that back and threw this ridiculous indictment together. Came out today, everybody said, this is not really an indictment. There's nothing here. My lawyers came to me and they said, there's nothing here. They're not even saying what you did. The criminal is the district attorney because he illegally leaked massive amounts of grand jury information, for which he should be prosecuted, or at a minimum, he should resign.
Like Back to the Future hearing Donald Trump again. He also took aim at the judge in the case. This is Judge Merchan and his family.
And this is where we are right now. I have a Trump-hating judge with a Trump-hating wife and family, whose daughter worked for Kamala Harris and now receives money from the Biden-Harris campaign and a lot of men. We recently had another trial, and the same judge told the fine man who worked for me for many, many years that if you admit your guilt, you will be in jail for 90 days. But if you don't, if we go through a trial and you're found guilty, you're going away for 10 years and maybe longer, which for a 75-year-old man with a great family really means life.
There you go, Donald Trump speaking in Mar-a-Lago after he was charged in New York earlier in the day. And from New York, we're joined by Marion McKeown, US correspondent with the Business Post. And Marion, you were there. You were outside the Manhattan Criminal Court when he arrived, and he promised that he would have fans and protesters going wild. What was it like?
Well, it was like sort of an outdoor carnival meets a festival meets a day out for the bewildered, to be quite honest there. It was, there was a media row directly across from the courtroom, across from 100 Centre Street, which is where the criminal courts are. And that was absolutely jam-packed with media from all around the world. And I was lucky to actually get to squeeze into right up against the balcony. But in fact, all you were looking at was the police activity and, you know, a courtroom door that people were not really coming in and out of because the area was sealed off. But at the back of me, there's a small park, and that was where Trump protesters, the New York Young Republicans, had called for a massive protest, their words. And so I went to that, and Marjorie Taylor Greene was scheduled to speak. George Santos appeared very briefly before he realised that he was better off to get out of there, because people close to me started shouting at him, "You're next." And he didn't like that at all. Marjorie Taylor Greene made a speech, I was 12 feet away from her. I couldn't understand a word she was saying. And New York just turned out to be too much for her as well. She was bundled out of there very quickly. And mainly it was reporters. There were so many reporters in the field that reporters were queuing up to speak to protesters. So I would say that in terms of the numbers, that it was probably between police, reporters and anti-Trump protesters, it was 4-1. To Trump supporters. If there were 100, 150 there, that was it. But it was enormously noisy, and people were going crazy, and they were accusing each other of everything from being beardist, which was a new one on me. I didn't know you could be beardist, because one guy was abusing another guy for having a very weak beard to people who just, there's a travelling circus that surrounds Donald Trump, and I've seen many of the same people at multiple Trump events, and they dress up in outfits made out of the stars and stripes, and they just really crave attention, and they get it. And there's something, you know, it was a very New York day, because New Yorkers are very witty, and the banter between the pro and anti-Trump protesters was actually very funny for a lot of the time. But no, people who were hoping Trump would make a speech were disappointed. I went around the corner to Baxter Street towards the end of his appearance, and he came out of there, and I saw him briefly, and then the convoy, just 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 cars just came flying around the corner, and they were gone over the Manhattan Bridge, and that was pretty well it.
Okay, and then he headed back, as we know, to Florida, and we did expect
to LaGuardia Airport, yeah.
And we expected him then to have a pop at everybody involved in prosecuting him. And he went for Alvin Bragg, the lawyer who's bringing the case, saying he was a criminal. Now, he's gone for him before, calling him a deranged psychopath. But I suppose the eyebrow-raising moment was when he went for Alvin Bragg's wife and his daughter as well in that speech.
Yeah. That's right. And, you know, it's and also the judge, his behavior, you know, he said nothing other than not guilty in the courtroom. They were his only words. And, you know, there was a moment where we saw the footage of him coming in when we were standing outside because there was a pool in there, a press pool. And the police officer actually let the door slam in his face. I think it might have been, I assume it was accidental, but for somebody who's, you know, a former president who's used to being, who probably hasn't opened a door in the last 7 or 8 years, it was kind of a jarring sight that he was, you know, I was in that corridor, on an identical corridor on the 9th floor for the Harvey Weinstein trial, and there's something, he cut a pretty lonely figure because he didn't have any family members with him, his wife wasn't with him, it was him and his lawyers, no, you know, close supporters apart from the crowd outside. And as I said, he really was just treated like anybody else. And, you know, we're always hearing that nobody's above the law in the States. Now, certainly people might disagree with that and saying it depends on how much money you have. But certainly yesterday, Donald Trump was treated like any other defendant. And the judge did warn him about, it's quite difficult to get a gagging order in a state court in America, you know, a local court. A federal court's a different matter. But the judge, who's, as we said before, very non-office judge, a very well-respected judge, warned him about what he would, you know, would say about not sort of inflaming passions, etc. He seemed to have completely ignored him when he got to Mar-a-Lago last night. And, you know, I think it's very disturbing to hear a former president speak about a district attorney like that and a judge like that and to show such contempt. Now, he's obviously very angry he's caught up in this. But it is very jarring to hear a former president, who was the head of the Department of Justice, after all, speak with such contempt and speak in a way that seems designed to rile up people against the law enforcement and criminal justice system.
And Marion, if that had happened here and if the judge made an order about speaking about the case outside of that courtroom, Donald Trump would be held in contempt of court. Now, can that happen in this instance?
I don't think so. What I think might happen is Alvin Bragg might go back and seek a gagging order. But I think Trump, the judge was more or less non-specific. And he also made what's called a Parker order, which I think was humiliating, where he said, if you disrupt these proceedings, you know, basically if you act out like you're known to do, we'll just put you out of the courtroom and carry on without you. Is that clear? Now, normally they would say that to, you know, gang members are people who just, you know, really don't have a lot of respect for the courts, which, let's face it, Donald Trump hasn't shown so far. But to hear, again, a former president being told, if you don't behave yourself, we're going to throw you out and carry on without you, was another moment where you think, my goodness. So, yeah, the judge, there wasn't a gagging order. He said to him, it was a general mind your manners order, you know, from here on in. So whether or not Trump will be deemed to have violated that, I don't know. But Alvin Bragg could go back at some point and say, look, we need a gagging order on this guy.
You were interested to see what was going to be in the charges when he was arraigned yesterday. Was there anything in there that surprised you?
No, it was pretty much, I think, as we discussed, that yes, Stormy Daniels did feature, but she wasn't the whole act. It was also, it was really what seemed to come out of it was that this sort of a conspiracy of sorts that with as we mentioned, David Pecker and with various people to make sure the American public didn't find out about Trump's various affairs ahead of the election. And, you know, stuff came out that I think will make it very difficult for him to plead that he did it because he didn't want Melania to find out, things like the timing. And there was also evidence that he had said to Michael Cohen, look, you know, he didn't want to pay Storm Johnson. He said, try and string it out until after the election, because then it won't matter anyway. Well, that suggests very clearly he didn't really care about Melania finding out. It was only about it not coming out before the election.
Yeah, and she was interesting that she was nowhere to be seen yesterday, was she?
No, nor Ivanka. And, you know, yes, his Tiffany and Donald Jr. and Eric Trump were at the event last night and their various partners. But yes, no sign of Ivanka Trump, no sign of his son, his youngest son, Baron Trump, and no sign of Melania at any point during any of this. So I think that the other thing to watch out for, Claire, maybe, as we said, the tax aspect, because one way or the other, if he wrote, you know, he claimed that these were fees for legal services and other services. Now, if he wrote that off as tax, he's liable for, you know, tax evasion charges. If he didn't write it off as tax, as his lawyer said last week, well, then it shows that he knew it wasn't for legal services. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of, it's a tricky situation. Now, there has been criticism, as we know, of Alvin Bragg for bringing this case in the first place. One New York lawyer described it to me as a zombie case. He called Bragg a moron, and he said it's a moron bringing a zombie case. But, you know, people on the other side would argue, well, look, you know, there was falsification of documents. Clearly there was an intent to conceal information from the public. There must have been criminal aspects to bring it up to the felony. And I think we just will have to wait and see how all this plays out. But the statement of fact attached to what was really a boilerplate count of 34 felonies suggests that, yeah, there was a lot going on. There was a conscious decision to do this.
And listen, I want to ask you about news related to another big beast in the United States and internationally, and someone who had a back-scratching relationship with Donald Trump up until recent years, Rupert Murdoch. His engagement is over after just 2 weeks. So this was his engagement to Anne Leslie Smith. What happened?
Well, you know, young love is very impulsive.
Yes, well, look, we've need to say anymore.
it turned out that they got engaged in haste. And I think that maybe it was her math, because was it he or her who said, we're going to spend the second half of our lives together, which would presuppose that Rupert Murdoch would live to be 184. So I'm not sure. But it turns out that he was concerned about the degree, I think, of her. She was a Christian talk radio host, and I think some of her views were more extreme. She's a fascinating woman. She's a fascinating background. Prison chaplain. She was married to a country singer before that. His children accused her of elder abuse. I suspect the Murdoch children were a little anxious. He did give her an engagement ring that cost $2.5 million, so I'm not sure if that'll turn up on eBay or if he'll insist on getting it back, but we'll see how that one plays out.
Yeah, and he said, didn't he, 2 weeks ago, that the relationship was a gift from God, swiftly taken back, it would seem.
Yes, well, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh, as no doubt his former fiancé would tell us.
Marion, thank you so much. Marion McKeown there from New York. And just to let you know that in the last couple of minutes, a statement has been released from the White House, and there's some further details in there about President Biden's visit to Ireland next week. Let me bring you some of that statement now. President Biden will travel to the United Kingdom and Ireland from April 11th to the 14th. He will first travel to Belfast from the 11th to the 12th to mark the tremendous progress since the signing of the Belfast Good Friday Agreement 25 years ago, and to underscore the readiness of the United States to support Northern Ireland's vast economic potential to the benefit of all communities. The statement goes on to say that the President will then travel to Ireland from the 12th to the 14th of April. He will discuss our close cooperation on the full range of shared global challenges. He will hold various engagements, including in Dublin, County Louth and County Mayo, where he will deliver an address to celebrate the deep historic ties that link our countries and our people. And they say there will be more details forthcoming as we get closer to the date. Maura Finn will be telling us all about osteoporosis, the signs, the symptoms, prevention and treatment. That's coming up next.
text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.